Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you will be blessed by your time with us today.
How are y'all doing? You guys are all bright and cheery and aren't ready to go. You're like, hurry up, Pastor, I got things to do. Ever watch, like, I watch a lot of YouTube videos, and some of them will just talk about nothing so much, and I click onto this thing for a reason, right? And, like, if they don't get what they want, at least started, within, like, 10 seconds, I'm like, click, you know? I'm like, so I guess I should probably do that. But you guys are kind of different because you're held hostage. So you guys aren't. Please don't click yet, right? Also, look at Mafa and Ashton and their new baby. Congratulations. It's good to see you guys, and congratulations. So that's so awesome. So,
what's so thank you.
Was it? I have no idea.
It's Maya.
Maya? Maya? I like that. That's a great name. Yeah, so let's pray real quick. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your presence here this morning. And we just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Right? I've already had a great weekend. I kind of had to, me and Linda both had to work yesterday till afternoon, and we thought, you know what? We're going to go have fun. And so Linda told me, she's like, pretend we're going to the river. And I'm like, okay. So I got all my stuff ready, and we headed out. We go up into the mountains to the river, and she's like, well, stop and get something to eat. It might be too cold by the time we get there because the sun's going down. And that water up on the mountains is cold anyway, usually. And so we went and got something to eat. And it was like it's funny how sometimes you don't plan stuff, but God has a divine appointment, right? We're sitting there at the restaurant, and the waitress was just acting like she was just a little bit off, like something was wrong. And finally she comes over and talks to us. She said, man, I just got chewed out right before you guys got here, and I want to cry and all this stuff. And my wife's like, I cry too. And so she was able to minister to her, and we got to encourage her and bless her. And so it's funny how God does that, right? So we go to the river, and we're sitting there, and I'm pretending I'm going to the river, but I'm not pretending no more because I'm at the river, right? And so here I'm at the river, and Linda's like, you know what? I don't care if it's late. I'm going in. And so that means if Linda's going in, I'm going in too. She's like, get this, get that. And I was like, okay, Cinderella. Actually, I'm Cinderfella. And Linda laughs at me. She's like, I hate laughing at your jokes, but that one was actually funny. And so I was like, I'm on a roll. This has been worth it so far. So we got in the water, and it wasn't too bad, and we had fun. Got up and here with you, and I'm refreshed. But it was so cool because Linda was like, she had such a tough day, and we were in the water, and you could just feel the live water rushing down. Actually, for the Jewish people, when they go to the mikveh, which is where baptism comes from, they would only do it in live water, which means that it would run off, right? Because it symbolized that God would take your sins and take your sicknesses and wash it all away. And it was almost like the water was a mikveh for us, and it was such a blessing. And so we're so thankful for that we actually got to do something fun. And that's what's so great about Jesus and his love and his peace is his water. And even the washing of the water of the word will just wash all that stuff from the week, all that stuff from your day, and just cleanse and make you feel so much better. Isn't that cool how that works? And so I got, actually, I was going somewhere else this morning, and the Holy Spirit kept talking to me, you need to go to this verse. And I was like, talk about this. And I was like, okay, so I'm getting ready to leave. And Linda's like, you need a haircut this morning. I'm already dressed. So she's like clipping my hair. I was like, I got to go in 10 minutes, right? Since COVID, she's been clipping my hair, right? We looked on YouTube and actually watched a video. Now she don't even need the video to do it. And so she's like, I'm just going to shave it here. And I knew it was not going to be 2 minutes because she doesn't do anything halfway, right? And so anyway, I'm getting a haircut. And I was like, honey, I need to go over my notes. I gotta preach. And she goes, well, what are you going to preach about? And I was like, well, I'm not sure yet. I think I'm going to go here. And she goes, well, let's talk about it. And she's like, then telling me, this is on my heart. Why don't you talk about this? And she starts like this. And it was the same thing that I was thinking about. And I was like, it's funny how the Holy Spirit just kind of flows and works in our life. I know lots of things have been happening this week. And like sometimes I think there's some disgusting things that happens in this world. Right? That's just nasty. And sometimes being Jewish, I feel that a lot, right? There's a lot of disrespect and a lot of throwing away. But I've seen that to Christians too this week. And so especially at the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. And as I was thinking, like, I didn't watch it. Cause, like, I used to always watch the Olympics because I loved it. I wanted to be Carl Lewis, right? I'd watch Carl Lewis. Anybody remember Carl Lewis? I think he's one of the greatest sprinters of all time. That dude could just do everything, right? And so I'd watch every bit of it, and I had glasses that had the Olympics on it, and I was going to go to the Olympics. And one of my coaches in middle school, well, was middle and junior high, it was really kind of right in between, was an Olympic pole vaulter. And so he was an awesome dude. And then he also was a punter, and punted for the Chicago Bears. And so his name was Dean Blevins. I'll never forget Mr. Blevins. He was amazing and an encourager of me. And I still remember him and love him. I don't know how he got to Little Town in Oklahoma. It's just crazy how God works, right? But he'd kick that ball, and that ball would go so high, I thought if a plane flew, it hit. I'd never seen anything like it, right? And then he could still pole vault. The dude was in shape, right? But I wanted to be in the Olympics, so he's like, well, you need to send a letter to the, well, he didn't tell me, but he told me how you do it, right? And so you send the letter to the Olympic Junior Committee, right? And so I sent one, and when I was at my dad's a couple years ago, right before he passed away, they had a box, my folks had a box, and in it was a letter I got from the, it's called the Olympic Junior Committee, invite me to Colorado Springs to train. And so I totally forgot about it for years and years and years until I opened that letter. And it was kind of cool to remember that I had that experience. And so sometimes we forget about stuff like that. So I always have had a heart for the Olympics. So when I heard what happened at the Olympic ceremonies where they were kind of making fun of Jesus and the Last Supper and like had a golden calf and all this stuff that's really foul and really like it hurts, really hurt a lot of Christians. And so I think what they did was very disrespectful. And so, but as I thought about that, everybody kept throwing that verse out from Galatians. God is not mocked what a man sows, he's going to reap. Like, God's going to be mad because they're making fun of him and he's going to slap them down. And that's not what the scripture says at all. And I think as believers, sometimes in these days, we're going to have to get a little bit thicker skin because they are not our opponents. People are our objective. I remember when Jesus was on the cross, there were some dudes that were gambling for his clothes. They had spat on him, and they had mocked him, and they were making fun of him. And Jesus said, God's not mocked. What a man sows, he's going to reap. You won't believe what I'm getting ready to do to you. And what happened? He wipes them all out. We never heard from him again, right?
No.
That's not how the scripture went?
No.
Okay. He's like, he shut all the lights off in Jerusalem. They had no electricity. Well, that's partially true because they really didn't have any electricity, right? But they had a candle shortage, right? Jesus is like, how dare you make fun of me, right? And by the way, being Jewish, a lot of people don't realize that Da Vinci painting where it's the Lord's Supper, It's not the Lord's Supper that Jesus celebrated. It's a Passover that Jesus celebrated, right? So the picture ain't even completely correct, right? And then when you look at that, did you know that a lot of the pictures, like some of those pictures, we had this picture of Jesus up in our churches when I was growing up. My dad's a pastor, and there's a picture of Jesus. And I come to find out one of the rumors, it's not proven fact, but it is a story that goes around, that Pope Alexander, who was wicked and evil and mean, had a son, and he wanted his picture to be the model for Jesus, right? Because the picture that, like Da Vinci, when he went to paint that, he was going to paint more of a Semitic man for the, like, Jewish, because Jesus was Jewish, and he wanted it to be more, you know, European, right? And so as a, from the Jewish perspective, when you look at that painting of the Lord's Supper, we look at it like, well, it's not the Passover, right? And they got their European guy, which is great. Identify with Jesus however you want, just as long as you identify with him is all I care. I don't care, right? But the point being is people are so upset sometimes over silly things that we have nothing to do about. And we get so upset over things that Jesus ain't even upset about, right? And so I'm sure it hurts. Like, I mean, can you imagine, you know, you did this for this person or you did this for that person and they put you down, you know? And so, but Jesus is love. God is love. And he sat on the cross, right? And he looks down and they're mocking and spitting at him. And he's like, I can't wait till I get up, rise again. You think Peter cut the ear off, I'm going to cut your whole head off, right? No. You know what Jesus did? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Maybe the problem isn't necessarily with the people who are doing what they're doing. As believers, maybe when we allow it to be an offense, maybe the problem becomes something in us. Because we're not allowing the love of God to flow. Remember Peter when he said, you know, on the ascension, he's like, Lord, strike. Jesus, we're going to strike him down. You guys remember that story in the Bible? Right? And Jesus like, okay, let's do it, boys. No. You know what he said? You don't know what spirit you're of. He said, that's not how we roll, boys. That's not how we operate, boys. Right? He said when he died on the cross, as ugly as what you seen was, he paid for that. On the cross, every one of those sins has been paid for. And you're like, well, that was pretty ugly. I was like, I'm glad you don't see some of the stuff I do too. And people don't see some of the stuff you do too. It's by the grace of God that he covered. And if you do the littlest, smallest sin, the little tiniest one, according to the law, you're guilty of the worst. You're up there with Hitler and Mao and all these dudes who murdered millions of people, if you consider that the most evil thing. The satanic worshipers, the littlest thing. If you're trying to keep the law and trying to do it in your own works, right? Thing is, I had a lady, she couldn't catch her horse. And still, like, even after working at it, sometimes it's harder to catch. And some days it's good, and some days it's bad. And she's like, why does a horse do that? And I was like, you know, I don't know. I'm not a horse, but my guess is a horse is going to horse. Of course. Unless the horse. Yeah. Right? A horse is going to horse. A dog's going to dog. Right? It's going to be what it is. People who don't know Jesus, what we consider sinners, they're going to sin. And sometimes it's going to be pointed back at us as believers. Sometimes it's going to be pointed at God. It's going to be pointed at stuff. I think the way for us to respond is not by being mad and saying, oh, you're going to reap bad things. But it's, you know what? We're going to sow love into you. We're going to pray for you. And pray that God will reveal himself and what he's done in your life and change your life radically. You just become a target of my prayer. You just become a target of my love. I ain't I ain't surprised anymore by what's happening in this world. The Bible says in this world, everything's going to be smooth and easy. You're never going to have any problems. It's going to be like a Disney princess. You're going to be singing and the birds are going to come out.
No.
No? He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. So get mad. Yell at people. No. Tell people, you know what? You mock Jesus, you rotten sucker. You know? And Jesus is like, dude, I'm used to it. Like, I don't even care. I paid for that. I love them. The very meanest, rottenest people, God, Jesus is like, I love you. He's wanting to wrap his arms around it and love them. And then we're like yelling at him, all offended, right? You can tell people, hey, that's disrespectful. I don't like what you did, but I still love you. There's a line, right? And so in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But he said what? The what? He said rejoice. Be in good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. You know, not too long ago, I would have been really offended and really mad about that. And I feel like I'm grown. Some people think I've shrunk because I'm supposed to be mad, right? But one thing I learned is even in the word offense is what it does. Notice I'm a cowboy, right? You get got a mean bull, you want to get a fence between you and that bull. You know what I'm saying? So when you have an offense, what you're doing is you're putting a fence between you and that person, you and that situation, if you're offended by it. So I'm not going to put a fence between me and someone or God and someone because he's broken down every wall. And I'm going to live in him and live in his peace and live in his love. We got to, especially in the next couple months and the seasons we're going into, we got to get a little bit thicker skin as believers. Not that it's just you guys. It's not necessarily you guys. But I know I got a lot of friends that were really upset about it. And I was like, dude, just it's all good. God, Jesus didn't fall off the throne. He's still who he is, right? Let's live out our faith. This is our opportunity. This is the kind of times we live for, man. We're not waiting to live for times where that's why we're here, man. Not because we everything easy, but we get the challenges. That's when you play football, you want to go play for a team that's going to play somebody because you want the challenge. Well, you want a challenge? We got it. And our challenge is to live out love. Live out not approving. Love is not approving. We don't have to approve. You know what? That's disgusting and I don't like it, but I love you. And I'm going to pray for you and watch what God's going to do in your life. I pray every one of those people find Jesus and he's revealed to them and set free. They just become a target of God's grace. Because where sin abounds, grace super abounds. We're thinking God's judgments on that. And the scripture's plain that his grace is super abounding there. Because either the cross is completely right and the work is completely finished, or it's not finished at all. There is no gray area. It's one or the other. What are we going to do? What are we going to believe? And in a way, mocking Jesus might be when we get religious and think we can earn our salvation. That's mocking Jesus by saying, I can do what you did. Just a different point of view, a different stance, right? So in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, it says this. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. Anybody ever feel like that in their lives? like, man, I got this thing that I'm battling and I just don't know how to handle it. And I feel like I'm a slave to it in some ways, but like I don't know what to do, right? That's what he's saying. I don't understand what I do. I don't know why I'm honking at these people that are driving Priuses on the way to church. I don't know why I can't stand Priuses. If you're driving a Prius, I hate your car, but I love you. You need a different car. In Jesus' name, I rebuke that Prius, right? I don't know why I do that, right? But I do that. I don't know why I'm doing it, but I'm doing it. And I don't know how to stop, and I don't know what this is. But this just stupid stuff I do. Did anybody ever do that? Right? I do not understand what I do. By the way, I don't understand the French. Right? They have the best car in the world, the Bugatti. One of the best. I like the Italian cars too, Lamborghinis and Ferraris, right? They have the best car in the world. And they might also have the best food, my favorite food that was ever created. It's genius. It's called the French fry.
Yeah.
Right? But you know what? They can't even say hello or goodbye. They're like, oui, oui. I was like, I go to France and I'm like, I don't need to go to the restroom. Right? They're really, really confused, right? Anyway, I digress. I don't know what that means, but I've wanted to do that a long time. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. This is from Paul. Now, do you guys remember Paul? He's the one that wrote a bunch of the New Testament. Guess what? He was a dude that was mocking Christians, holding the coats while they were trying to kill him. He's on their way to kill Christians, not just mock Jesus, kill Christians, right? He's on his way to do it, and Jesus knocks him off of his horse, literally, and saves him radically. And so this is a dude that he wasn't just I know the Jewish faith and the Torah a little bit. He knew every part of it. He was trained. He was somebody and something. And here he's saying, the more I do, I don't know what I do. I don't know why I do it. But the more I want to do good, the worse it gets. And I can't do what I want to do because it's so bad. This is Paul, the dude who wrote a good chunk of the New Testament. Think about that. Here he's being real. He's telling us this is the Christian faith's not about being perfect. Your spirit's perfectly saved, but you're going to walk out in the flesh. You're going to make mistakes. And if you make a mistake and Jesus comes, that's it, man. You're going to hell. No. Man, there's a story, this little latest guy was talking about the rapture, and when the rapture comes and at this church, the pastor's wife had got hooked on Coca-Cola, and it really hurt her physically because she was diabetic. So they come up and they decided Coca-Cola's a sin; it's bad, right? So they're always telling them how bad it was. So everybody in the church quit drinking Coca-Cola. Well, she's at the little restaurant in town, and this little old lady, and she wants a Coke. So she's sitting there drinking a Coke. And someone from the church walks in and said, Mrs. So-and-so, what would you do if Jesus come back right now? And she said, I'd hand you the Coke and go right on up. Right? She didn't let that, what someone perceived as a sin, push her to the point where she didn't have freedom in Christ. Because what hurts one person, maybe Coke's not good for you. Then maybe it's okay for someone else to drink. The point is it's about us. That's silly compared to Scripture, right? But if you mess up, say I'm honking at someone in their Prius on the way to church, And something happens, and the rapture happened, or if you believe in the rapture, some don't believe in the rapture, whatever, right? Or a semi crashes into me, and I go to heaven, right? Or, uh-oh, I yelled, I sinned. Now I'm not going to heaven because I sinned by yelling at that Prius, which I don't think is a sin. I think that's a blessing. I think God ordains that, right? Some of you guys know because you guys follow the Priuses, or you're driving the Prius and you know you're sinning, right? Repent in Jesus' name, right? But we get to think, I got to be perfect all the time, and if I mess up, then I'm doomed. And that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture's plain, right? It's in Christ we have freedom. It's Him. It's not in what we do, but it's in who we are and who we put our trust and who we believe. Now watch this. For what I want to do, I do not do. For what it's got so much. This is like he. I'm not sure if he was drinking when he wrote this. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Man, I'm with Paul. There's things I do. I wish, man, why'd I do that stupid thing? I don't get it. And usually when I get into that mode is when I'm not focused right, when I haven't spent time to say, hey, thank you, Father, when I'm out of gratitude or I'm out of love or I'm just kind of frustrated or mad or something like that, right? I know I'm the only one up here that ever does that, right? And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do. This is a tongue twister, man. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who did it, but it is sin living in me that does it. What he's saying, man, he's talking about the flesh, because Christ in us is the hope of glory. It talks about Jesus living in us, but we have this flesh suit. We have this thing that draws us to operate in the world, right? And in the flesh, right? And so, but that's not who we are. You got to separate your do from the who. And when you separate your do from the who, then it comes back and works for you, right? So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, in my spirit, I delight in God's law, which is what? Love the Lord with all your heart and love the neighbor, your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said that will sum up everything. It's all about love. Are you loving? That'll take care of it all. You don't have to worry about anything, because when you love your neighbor, you're going to treat your neighbor. When you love, you got to love yourself first. You don't love yourself, you're going to treat people like you love yourself. Now watch this, that's not the message. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? What's he talking about? From this flesh, man. I need rescued from this, right? And we think we got to die to do it. We do. Our flesh has to die. But it's by submitting to God inside. Does that make sense? You don't have to wait till you get to heaven. You can say, you know what, Father, I surrender my life completely to you. I repent. I turn around. It just simply means that I surrender to you inside me. Christ in me is the hope of glory, and I allow you to live through me. And guess what? You're not going to be perfect, but it's a journey. You're going to get to walk it out. Does that make sense? You are perfect in your spirit, but you're going to make some mistakes. Make sense? And God's not going to whack you. He's not whacking, oh God. Right? Now watch this. Where am I at? Is anyone even trying to follow me? 25? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, and he says, who will rescue me from the body of death? And then he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's like, there's an answer to what I'm going through. Watch this. If you just stopped right there reading, why even try? Why even try if you can't get it right? I mean, it wouldn't be worth your time. But he's saying it's not about what you do. It's about who you are and who he is inside you. You're so valuable that he sent his son, his only son, to die for you so that you can have life and have it right here and right now. And he's so awesome, he hid himself in the last place anyone would look. Inside you. So repentance is changing our minds, saying, you know, I'm not going to try to earn his favor. I receive his favor and I'm going to live. I can't earn my salvation. I'm going to allow that and surrender to the fact that he paid the price. Someone died so that I could be free. And I'm not going to mock the finished work by not receiving that. That's mocking it more than putting him down with words. I'm not going to reject his grace. I'm not going to reject his heart or his love because he loves me that much. Even when I'm mad at him. I've been mad and told him off. Anybody ever done that? You know what he does? Loves me back. He didn't get mad. No lightning. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Thank God it doesn't start there. Romans 8:1 starts off with therefore. And when you see therefore, you always ask yourself what? What's it there for? There's a reason, right? This is why we always read the scripture in context, right? Because when you take the text out of context, all you're left with is what? A con, right? Therefore, there is later, when Jesus comes back, no condemnation. There was no condemnation. No. Therefore, there is when?
Now.
Now. Therefore, there is when?
No.
I can't hear you guys. Like I got a little water in my ear from the swimming. Therefore, there is?
Now.
I couldn't hear you. One more time. Therefore, there is?
Now.
When's now?
Now.
You could have just said it. You didn't have to scream. Therefore, there is now. No condemnation.
Amen.
I got to read that one more time. Therefore, even though I don't know what to do and I do stuff I don't want to do and I don't know how I'm going to do it or what I'm doing or why I'm doing it, I know. Therefore, there is now, right now, in the midst of my confusion, in the midst of my turmoil, in the midst of what I'm going through, therefore, there is now, right now, no condemnation. For those who are in Christ Jesus, why? I'm in him and he's in me. That's all I need. Father, I submit. I rest in you. And it's not something I do once. Sometimes I have to do it multiple times a day. I was like, Father, oh, I surrender to your grace. I'm going to love that person even though I don't want to. But I know there's no condemnation for me. And if there's no condemnation for me, then there's no condemnation for you. Remember the woman who was caught in an act of adultery and everybody's throwing stones? And Jesus, the only one left, he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Duh, she already knows, he knows. She's going to mess up again. He's like, my grace and the no condemnation is going to set you so free that it's going to set you free of this. He could have thrown the law, which the stones represent, at her, but instead, he dealt with her with his love. And that was before the cross, by the way, guys. Now watch this. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. And the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free when you're not messing up. Is free when everything's going good. Is free when you're having a good day. No, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. This is my favorite, one of my favorite parts in the Bible. Therefore, there is now, right now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. And that set me free is past tense. He's already set me free. So now I am free, and I'm free indeed. I have hope, and I have a future. Don't worry. Be happy. Be like the fish on the wall when you walk by. Don't worry. Be happy. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did. Who did? Paul saying, Let me find that. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do, I do. He's talking about doing. And down here, God says, this says this, for what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in his likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man. He did not condemn man, he condemned sin. That's good news. That means there's no condemnation for you in Christ Jesus. That means who the Son sets free is free indeed. Horses taught me this one thing. Like, I think of the flesh, I think of this. It's going back to the earthly instincts, which is simple. It's fight or flight. For horses, it's fight or flight. If you can get them, if they get into that fight or flight mode, their adrenaline kicks in, and buddy, you're lost. You're in a battle. So the whole ideal is not to get them in that spot, because if you do, you're going to have to wear them out till they can't move to get anything done with them. But to get inside, it's an inside job. Let them think. Let them move. Let them not be afraid. They ain't going to be perfect. They're going to make mistakes. But as they're making mistakes, they're going to find where they step. Boom, right there. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Horse will step. Boom, now it's in the right spot. And then I'm just like, yeah, that's where I want you. Oh, okay, I can do this. But if you get to living, and that's what he's talking about. Are you living out in the fight mode, which comes from fear? Perfect love cast out all fear. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid maybe that you're not good enough? Are you afraid maybe that you can't keep it? You can't do enough? Well, let me make it easy for you. You can't. And you don't have to, because Jesus did it for you. And if you allow him, he'll live it out through you from the inside out. It's your choice. He loves you that much. And so he condemns sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. Again, there's that word in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, which means we're not trying to fight or run from things in this world, but we're submitted and thinking and trusting in Him. Watch this. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met, where?
In us.
I couldn't hear you guys again. It's my ear from the water.
In us.
Right. Who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. It's an inside job, guys. Inside out. You're as saved as you're ever going to be. Guess what? You're going to get to grow. You're going to get to learn. And you're going to get to know Him better, know yourself better. And those things you're struggling with, just put God on them. The Bible says God is love. Love those things. You know what? I love that. I love that I honk at a Prius, so I'm really bringing God to it. I'm still honking at Priuses and stupid drivers. Like, why would you even drive in the fast lane at that? I go back. Right? Just allow His love, perfect love, casts out all fear. Trust Him, submit to Him, and watch what He does. He'll blow your mind. Amen? So, Father, thank You for Your Word, thank You for Your peace. Thank You for Your goodness. We just give You the praise for it. In Jesus' name. You guys out there, maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you do know Jesus and you've been really hurt. I want to tell you something. He's not condemning you. He's not mad at you. He loves you. All He's saying is, hey, I surrender, Jesus. I receive all Your grace and Your goodness. And there is no condemnation for me because I'm in You. And watch what He does. Amen?
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.